One of my girlfriends mentioned several weeks ago that her almost one-year-old baby was still waking in the night to nurse, and she wanted to night wean, and she was looking for any advice I could give her. Night weaning is obviously a big topic in the sleep world, and it's usually not as easy as just do this one thing and ta-da. While I certainly had advice to give her, I needed more info. Then I had an idea, and I asked her if she'd be willing to have the conversation over Zoom so I could record it for this podcast, and she said yes. So on today's episode, I'm interviewing my friend Sterling. She and I have been friends for several years now. We went to church together before her family moved away, but technology and motherhood have kept us connected. We had all three of our kiddos just a few months apart from each other, so we've really done motherhood together, and we kind of keep learning together as we go. Prior to this conversation, I really only knew her baby was still waking in the night to nurse, so you get to listen in as I ask her lots of questions to get a better picture of what's going on, and then share some night weaning options with her. Hey there, I'm Lauren Engler, your fellow mom friend and pediatric sleep consultant of Via Graces. This is a place where you'll learn all the sleep tips and tricks so you feel equipped to navigate the ups and downs of your little one's sleep. You'll also get an inside look at our family life as I share the real joys and tougher moments of parenting. So whether you're nap trapped, driving to daycare pickup, or you're enjoying a solo evening walk, my goal is for this podcast to be another reminder that when it comes to most things in parenting, all it takes is a plan and a whole lot of grace. I'm so glad you're here. All right, Sterling, I am really excited we're doing this. I'm going to ask you a few intro questions first, just so everyone listening has a bit of a background, but then we are going to jump into chatting about your babe. So first, can you just introduce yourself?
Sure. Thanks for having me, Lauren. My name is Sterling, and I live in Indiana with my husband and our three kids. They are 6, 4, and 1.
And your baby just turned 1 last week?
Yes, that's right.
Yay! Okay, well, so you have 3 young kids, and we're pretty much in the same season of motherhood, which is so fun. And we'll be talking mostly about your baby today, but can you just share a bit about what sleep has looked like with your older two, or what sleep did look like with them when they were younger?
Sure. My 6-year-old was a pretty rough sleeper around 8, 9, and 10 months. And we finally did some sleep training at 11 months. We hadn't done anything formal or intentional up until that point. So at 11 months, we did some sleep training. And it was tricky because we were in a 1-bedroom apartment and she was in a pack and play at the foot of our bed. So that was a tricky season, but we eventually got her to sleep through the night. So when our second came along, we were hoping to be more intentional. I at least knew a little bit more, but I still needed some help because at 4 and 5 months, he was just fighting sleep and he would not go to sleep on his own, no matter what I tried. So that's when I enlisted your help and we did some sleep training with him. And by 6 months, he was sleeping through the night. So that was a much better experience. And I felt much more empowered the second time around.
Well, and I feel like that was a really unique time because that was, I think we were a couple months into COVID, if I'm remembering correctly.
Yes.
And so even I feel like that dynamic of like, I mean, fatigue and exhaustion are being exhausted is you're going to be exhausted no matter what. But I also feel like you add on, like you're home a lot more often. You can't go many places. Your husband's probably working from home, which I feel like COVID was just a weird layering of exhaustion feels that much more exhausting, or kids who aren't sleeping, like so many more families rolling in because they're like, we have to be able to function. And the way this is happening right now with everyone on top of each other is not working. So I feel like that was even, a unique season in general.
Yes.
But I was so thankful that we could work together. Okay. So now you have a 1-year-old. You obviously know a lot about sleep. You have 2 older kiddos. You've kind of, you've been through the regressions. You've seen the different seasons of sleep, kind of what changes. But of course, every kiddo is different. So can you just tell me about her kind of the last year, what your sleep journey has looked like so far?
Sure. So our third has been a better sleeper overall, I think on her own. And she's a thumb sucker, which has helped from the earlier ages. But I also was more intentional because I had learned from you and was just more intentional about what we were doing. So I was trying earlier on to get her to nap in her own bassinet, for example, or to try to help her fall asleep on her own. So she was really falling asleep on her own and taking most of her naps in her bassinet and falling asleep on her own by the time she was 6 months old. And I would say from 6 months old to 10 and a half or maybe almost 11 months old, she was really just waking up once a night to nurse once. And that was pretty sustainable for me. She was sleeping well during the day. She was going to sleep on her own at night. And then she was waking once to nurse. And then I put her back down and she'd be asleep again and it was okay. So at about 10 and a half or 11 months old, so this is probably 6 weeks ago, we just had one situation after another with sickness and then cutting one tooth. And then we traveled and then another tooth, just one thing after another that caused her sleep to be interrupted. And then I got in the bad habit of just nursing her every time she was up. Yes. So now she's used to that and she's waking about two or three times a night to nurse pretty much every night. So that's where we are now. She's 1 year old. And for about 6 weeks, she's been waking two or three times a night.
Okay. And you're hoping to like fully night wean, get back to once a night. What's kind of your goal?
That was one of my questions for you, is kind of that distinction, because I would be okay nursing her once a night. But as I thought about trying to work with her and try to do some sleep training, I thought, well, how does she differentiate between one time a night and then two or three times?
Yeah.
So I would really, I think ideally she wouldn't nurse at all at night, because I think at this stage, I don't think that she's truly hungry at night.
Yeah.
But if she was at one time, I'd be okay with that. I just don't know how to get from two to three down to one or none.
Right, right. And how to differentiate, like, is this just purely out of habit or do you actually need something?
Right. And with my other kids, for them, a lot of the struggle was getting them to go to sleep.
Yeah.
And with her, she's going to sleep independently, but then she's still waking to nurse. So that was part of the reason I reached out to you, because I'm like, this is different and I'm not totally sure how to approach it.
Yeah, totally. So I'm just going to ask you some questions for people listening. This is the first time I'm hearing all of this. So when Sterling reached out, she basically said, hey, like we're having trouble at night. She's waking up more often to nurse. She falls asleep well. And I was like, let's do this on the podcast. So real time right now, I'm just going to ask you some questions to get a better picture of what's going on. And then I will share some tips for moving forward.
Great.
So to kind of rewind, so you said she's an independent sleeper. Do you feel like you did any specific sleep training? I think you said around 6 months old, she was pretty independent. Did you do any set like method, or do you feel like it was kind of gradual from like newborn or early on?
It was more gradual. It was just a lot of practicing repeatedly to we practiced putting her down on her own to go to sleep.
Okay.
And so we just kept on practicing and sometimes it would work okay. Sometimes it wouldn't, but we just kept at it and it got better and better.
Okay. And so for now you would say like, obviously she's a real human being, but pretty much every nap, bedtime, you're confident laying her down, walking away, you know, she'll fall asleep.
Yes.
Okay. What is her bedtime routine kind of start to finish?
Sure. I take her into our bedroom and I don't know if I mentioned that she's sleeping in our walk-in closet. Okay. But I'll take her into our bedroom, change her diaper, put her pajamas on. I nurse her and then I read a couple of books to her. And then I go into the closet at that time and I will pray with her, sing with her and put her down. And then I leave.
Okay. How many minutes-ish do you think it takes her to fall asleep?
I'm trying to think of an average over the last week. I would say maybe 5 to 10 minutes.
Okay. Awesome. So she's not passing out right away. You don't think there's any chance of like, she's drowsy trying to fall asleep while you're staying. Like you think she's pretty awake when you lay her down.
I think she's pretty awake. Like she's happily waving at herself in the mirror. We have a mirror in our room. So before we go into the room, she's waving goodnight and she's curled up with me when I'm rocking her and singing, but she's definitely awake.
Okay. And that, how long would you say the rocking and singing last?
Oh, just about 2 or 3 minutes.
Okay. And then what is her daily schedule? Kind of like morning wake time, nap times, nap lengths, bedtime?
Usually she's up around 7 and I try to put her down about 2.5 hours later.
Okay.
I have been waking her after a 1 hour morning nap.
Okay.
And I've been doing that because she's fought her afternoon nap and just really struggled. It took a long time to go to sleep, was crying a lot. So I cut the morning nap to 1 hour.
Okay.
And then there's about 3 hours between the morning and afternoon nap. And then she sleeps for about an hour in the afternoon. And I wake her up for that nap too. And then I put her down for bed about 3.5 hours later.
Okay. What time do you think that usually shakes out to be at bedtime?
Usually her bedtime's around 7:30.
Okay. Perfect. And then for naps, kind of, do you have the same kind of routine?
It's just a little shorter, but same routine. I change her diaper, put her in her sleep sack, nurse her, read to her, sing, and put her down.
Okay. Perfect. So then overnight, prior to this past 6 weeks of challenging nights, what time was she generally waking to nurse?
She was usually up around 2 or 3.
Okay. And that was pretty consistent?
Yes.
Okay. And you would go in, would you go in right away, feed her, back down, kind of easy peasy?
Yeah. It depends on how she was fussing. If she was kind of on and off, I would let her go for a little bit, but not too long. I would probably get her within 10 minutes. She does share a wall with my son's room, who's 4.
Okay.
So that's another factor. I don't let her cry for too much. I would go and pick her up, nurse her, and then put her back down.
Okay. And would she fall asleep nursing or be pretty awake when you lay her back down?
She is usually asleep.
Okay.
So when I put her back down, sometimes she would be asleep. Sometimes I know she's at least not totally asleep because she'll kind of roll over and make a little noise. But I would say majority of the time she's asleep.
Okay. So then in the last 6-ish weeks, has there been any sort of pattern to what time she's waking in the night, or like when-ish would you say that happens?
I wouldn't say it's the time is consistent, but it's, if she wakes up 3 times, it'll be around 2 hours apart. So maybe like 12, 2 and 4, 1, 3 and 5, but it's usually just every couple hours. So she might have a few solid hours of sleep for her, but for me and my husband, it's like, you know, it's like a couple hours after you've gone to bed, and then it's every 2 hours that she's waking.
Okay. Okay. And then do you wake her at 7 or does she normally wake up at 7 on her own?
That depends. It kind of depends on what the night has been like. If she's up at 5 and I nurse her and put her back down, then I might be waking her up at 7 or 7:30. Okay. I don't let her sleep past 7:30, but it just depends on whether or not she wakes up or I wake her up.
Yeah. Okay. Perfect. And then I think 2 more questions.
Sure.
One is your husband, I know he works during the day. He does work at home, but is he able to, like weekends especially, able to put her down for naps just as easily as you, able to put her down at bedtime just as easily, or does she kind of have a preference for one or the other?
Most of the time, it works out pretty well. There are occasional times when bedtime, she prefers me to put her down, but most of the time it's okay.
Okay, perfect. And then, so she just turned 1, so I feel like she's right at that, I don't know, just right at that age where she's like between the milk and solids, where from 6 months to 10, 11 months old, it's like milk is the main source of nutrients. Solids is an added bonus. And then in that, you know, I'm not a nutritionist, but like 10-ish, 11 months old, 12 months old, we want solids to start becoming more and more of the thing. And it's around this time where we want to see solids be the main source of nutrients. Milk is kind of an added bonus. Do you feel like she's in that space where, yeah, she eats solid meals pretty well during the day, she's still relying quite a bit on nursing during the day? What do you think her like milk and solids balance is?
She's a pretty good eater. I think we're kind of getting to that point where she's more on the solid side than the milk side. So I think that we're getting there.
What would you say, again, I know every day I'm sure is different. What would you say a typical day is like of like wake up, nurse, breakfast, like how do you feel like a typical day balancing milk and meals?
Yeah. So I have been thinking through that recently because I used to nurse her, you know, when babies nap longer, it's like you kind of nurse before and after each nap. Mm-hmm. So I've been kind of tweaking that a little bit, but she'll wake and I'll nurse her and then she'll have breakfast. And then often I'll nurse her before her first nap.
Okay.
And then she'll nap and then have lunch at some point, and then I'll nurse her again, and then she'll go down for a second nap, and then I'll nurse her after that nap, and then again before bedtime. And of course, there's dinner in there too. Mm-hmm. So she is having 3 meals a day. We haven't started snacks yet.
Okay.
But she's nursing basically and counting before, after wake up, before nap, after nap, after dinner, before bed, or before dinner and after before bed, five times, I guess.
Okay.
I would say five-ish times a day.
Yep. And you feel good about, do you feel good about her solid intake? Like she, you said she's a pretty good eater.
Yes, I do. She's doing really well with solids.
Okay. Awesome. Well, no, this is all really helpful. And I always joke whenever I have these calls with families, like if you could see the notes I have in front of me, you would be like, what is going on inside of your brain? But this is really helpful for me to have a good picture of what's going on. So I think even just in general too, pulling back, because I know that you know a lot about sleep. I'm guessing her room is super dark. Your closet, I'm guessing, is super dark. You've got the white noise. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep. So that sounds...
Yeah, it's completely dark and I have a fan in there. And hopefully we'll move her to her own room soon. And I'm going to be working on the darkening solution for the windows.
Yeah. You guys have a slumber pod, right? I feel like I remember that with
you. We do. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I thought so. Well, so this is super helpful. So I think environment, like not an issue, and especially in the middle of the night, right? That's not going to be an issue no matter what. Her schedule sounds pretty good. I think sounds like she's definitely doing well with a two nap schedule. You will probably have, being that she's 12 months old, in the next couple of months, she'll be ready to transition to one nap whenever that may happen. Being that right now she's doing kind of 2.5 hours of awake time in the morning, 3 hours in the afternoon, 3.5 before bedtime, I think you've got a little while before you'll even, you know, approach the one nap transition. You may get to a space, and I'm saying this because I don't think you're there now, given how she's doing, but this would be a potential to keep in the back of your mind, depending on how she does with these other tips that I give you. Kind of between now and her being ready to transition to one nap, you'll get to a space where you're kind of dancing with this schedule of how can I still squeeze in two naps without bedtime getting super late. I know for me, like right now, our youngest, who's just a couple months older than yours, is going to bed at like 7:45, and I really don't want it getting much later. So as soon as she has to go to bed much later, we're moving to a one nap schedule. So I'm hoping we can stick here a little bit longer. But so thinking about your daughter as well, right now her bedtime 7:30-ish. You still have some wiggle room, probably not a lot. And two, where you are with like capping her morning nap, generally capping her afternoon nap. So all that to say, I don't think you're approaching the one nap transition like in the next month or so. You may come to a space where even bumping all of those awake windows up by like 15 extra minutes to 2 hours and 45 minutes in the morning, 3 hours and 15 minutes in the afternoon, 3 hours and 45 minutes before bed, just to keep in the back of your mind. From everything else I'm hearing, I don't think her waking more in the night is due to a lack of sleep pressure. If her schedule were different, or if there were kind of other signs, if it were taking her longer to fall asleep for her naps, or if her naps were really short, we might be looking at an issue of sleep pressure. I don't think we're there. So environment is solid. Her schedule seems solid for now. Keep in the back of your mind, though, that is something that you will probably have to tweak in the coming weeks or months, potentially connected to this overnight feeding. I don't think that's it. I think the biggest piece here is I think she still has quite a bit of a connection between nursing and sleeping, which is making that habit overnight that much stronger. And rewind to 6 weeks ago, you know, you mentioned like sickness, we were traveling, all the things. I mean, that can make sleep harder for anybody. And so why was she waking up once a night for so many months, you know, just a little while ago, and now she's waking up 2 to 3 times? Again, sickness, traveling, but then habit. So it was probably waking up once a night was working well. It was working well for you. And now you're in a space where you're like, I can't keep doing this. Neither of us is getting the sleep that we need. I mean, she is. You and your husband aren't getting great sleep. And you know that she's capable of doing more. So I do think a lot of this is because she still has nursing and sleep really closely connected. So even just kind of looking back to even your nap time routine. So you said you do generally nurse her in the nap time routine. Is that
right?
Yeah,
I do. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I would stop doing that. Okay. So in general, we want to try to keep a buffer of about 15 to 20 minutes between when she's done nursing and when she's taking a nap. So you can certainly keep nursing her during the day. There's no like, you should only nurse her this many times. But let's say she takes her first morning nap, her first nap of the day around 9:30, rather than nursing her at like 9:15, 9:20, I would nurse her at like 9. So that by 9:10, 9:15, she's done nursing. When you do nurse her, I would be in the living room, lights on, she may be distracted by Big Brother, Big Sister. So try to do what you can there. You know, worst case, you go to a separate room, but like lights on, this is not a sleeping environment. I'm truly just feeding you to fill your belly. And if she doesn't want it, that's okay because she nursed in the morning and she had a solid breakfast. So always try to have 15 to 20 minutes between when she's done nursing and when she takes a nap. So I think that's part of it there. Same thing with her bedtime routine. So I would move nursing to like not even in your bedroom. So similarly, if your older two kiddos are awake, you might need to find a separate space, but I would find a space that does not feel in any way connected to sleep. Lights are on, interacting with her. You're truly just feeding her to fill up her belly, not to get her ready for sleep. I think right now it's a little bit too close to sleep for her. And she's right at the age where it's not a hard and fast, because she turned 12 months old last week. It's not hard and fast, but being that she's in this space of now solids are kind of in the midst of becoming her main source of nutrients, milk is just that added bonus. She's at an age where we want to slowly start pulling nursing even out of the bedtime routine at all. So I would start by just having it at the beginning, but don't let her know that it's the beginning of the routine. Keep it somewhere else, lights on. Eventually, when you're comfortable, so just like your older two kids, for you and me, we can have dinner, hang out, go to bed. We don't need a snack. We don't need a cup of milk to be able to go to sleep. We just kind of fill up on dinner and that's that. That's kind of our end goal with her. And ideally in the next, not a hard and fast rule, but like ideally in the next month or two, that would be the same direction she's going, where she eats dinner. And if you introduce like cow's milk or almond milk or something to her, you can give her that with dinner. But end goal would be she has dinner, maybe has some milk, or you nurse her like immediately after dinner. And then she's just able to hang out and do her bedtime routine. So that's the end goal. What that could look like is right now, if she's usually nursing like 7:15, maybe you nurse her at 6:45, hang out for a bit, then start the bedtime routine. And a couple of days later, you nurse her at 6:30, hang out even longer, bedtime routine, 6:15. And eventually she's either not going to be hungry because you just finished dinner, or it's literally going to be in the middle of dinner and you're like, you can fill up on solids. So again, that's not like the reason she's waking in the night to nurse is because that's in the bedtime routine. But if she were 15 months old, that would be a pretty like, let's get it out of the bedtime routine now. She's at a space where we certainly have wiggle room, just depending on how she's doing with solids. So for now, I would definitely make it the first step of the routine, have it totally out of your bedroom, away from her closet, and keep in the back of your mind that we want to start slowly even pulling nursing farther outside of the bedtime routine in general.
Okay.
Does that all make sense so far?
Yeah, that's super helpful.
Okay. So I think even just in the initial putting more of a gap between nursing and sleep, I think we'll make a really big difference. But then there's also the piece of this is just a habit, right? I think it sounds like she's in a space where I'm fairly confident that she, given how well she's nursing and eating solids during the day, pretty sure she's able to go through the whole night without needing to nurse. Now, if she gets to a space where she's only waking once a night and you're like, I can handle this. I don't mind this. I don't really want to work on this right now. That's totally fine, right? I feel like the great thing about being a parent is you get to choose what's best for your family. So I think she's very capable of sleeping through the night without needing that night feed, without needing any of them. If she gets to a space where she's down to one and you're like, sweet, I can stick here for now. Totally fine. But I'm confident saying, kind of given how she's doing, and I think you even mentioned, she's very likely able to sleep through without. So now it's just a matter of, okay, this is a habit. What do we do to kind of to break this habit essentially? So the nice thing is we have choices. We always have choices. So I would say maybe the hardest choice, but the quickest choice would be to kind of cut those feedings cold turkey and to sleep train through them. So whether you choose like a leave and check where you're, you know, waiting 10 minutes, pop in for a minute or two, leave again for 10 minutes, or if you use something like the chair method, I think that's what we did with your son. Both of those are very normal, great sleep training methods that you could use. So essentially if she, I think you said she wakes up at, let's say she wakes up at midnight, 2 and 4, and you're choosing to, okay, I'm confident she doesn't need these night feeds. I'm comfortable just cold turkey pulling them. What that would look like is she wakes up at midnight. And if you do leave and check, you would wait 10 minutes, pop in for a minute or two to comfort her, leave again for 10 more minutes and essentially do that 10 minutes out, 1 to 2 minutes in until she's back asleep. Or if it was the chair method, still wait those 10 minutes before you respond to her just to give her space to see if she'll fall back asleep. But then you can sit next to her, pat her, shush her, and kind of slowly work your way out of there. But so those are kind of the, like I said, the cold turkey is the easiest in the sense that it's the quickest, probably the hardest in the sense of like, we're making a really big change seemingly out of nowhere. And doing the cold turkey leave and check again is probably the quickest. The chair method, depending on her personality, are you actually more helpful sitting there or are you more stimulating sitting there? It's kind of dependent on her personality and also just what are you the most comfortable with there. So cold turkey, sleep train through it is, like I said, the easiest in the sense of time, generally the hardest in terms of like, this is a really big change. She may not be happy with the change. So that's kind of one option. The other option is kind of even two-ish part here, maybe three part. The other option is like a slow wean. So you could say, you know what, if she wakes up at 12, 2 and 4, I'm going to nurse her every time. But right now, if she's nursing for, I'm going to make this up, 15 minutes, I'm only going to nurse her for 10 for their first couple nights, and then 8 for the next couple nights, and then 6 minutes, 4 minutes, 2 minutes. And eventually you're like, you don't need to nurse for 2 minutes. You're literally not getting anything. You clearly don't need this. And then from there, you would kind of sleep train through it. That can feel more gentle to people because they get more confidence of like, when you only nurse for 2 minutes, you were fine. I know that you don't actually need this. So I think that can be more helpful on your end. And I think too, kind of rewinding back to the nursing and feeding connection, knowing even that she's often pretty close to asleep, if not totally asleep, when you're done nursing her in the night, that's kind of another confirmation that she's doing this out of habit or thinks she needs it to get back to sleep. So I'm kind of rewinding before I fast forward again, pairing that with the middle of the night, kind of if you do the slow wean or honestly, if you like, you know what, okay, for the next week, before doing any of this weaning in the middle of the night stuff, you could even say, for the next week, I'm going to separate nursing and feeding, or I'm sorry, nursing and sleeping even more. So put that 15 to 20 minute buffer in. I'm not going to nurse her in the bedtime routine. And if and when she wakes in the night, I'm going to basically do what I've been doing, but keep her awake. That would even be like extra gentle, take a step back, step number one, and just see how she does there. But if you're going to feed her in the night, we want her to know that she's nursing and we want her to know that she's back in her crib. She's not going to be wide-eyed and bushy-tailed. You're going to be tired too, but we want her, like, you know, as a nursing mom, the difference between when she's actively sucking and swallowing versus when she's just kind of pacifying. If she starts getting to that pacifying space, either unlatch her and wake her up to finish eating or be like, okay, you're ready for bed. So yeah, kind of night weaning or not, I'd say that's like the first step to take. Again, whether you do that beforehand or kind of together, that would be important as well. I feel like I'm all over the place. Do you have any questions so far?
I have one question about I'm totally tracking with what you're saying and what you were just saying with separating nursing and sleeping and mm-hmm. like keeping her awake at night. If I did for the next week or so, just work on that and keeping her awake while she's nursing at night. For those night feedings, if I did choose that route, would I keep the lights on, like some low lights, mm-hmm. and just make sure she's awake and then put her down and just say night night and put her down? I wouldn't like do a whole bedtime routine. I would just
correct. Yep.
Put her down quickly and make it clear to her that it's time to go back to bed, time to go yep. to sleep, and mm-hmm. then just sleep.
Yeah, totally. Right? So yeah. Okay. So yeah, one way to help keep her awake is even, yeah, just a super low light. In a perfect world, it would be like a low red or orange light. I remember just putting my phone flashlight on the edge of the nightstand. So there was a little mm-hmm. bit of light coming through, but yeah, that also helps her recognize like, this is not just me passing out, something else is going on. You could also change her diaper, which probably is like, I feel like that's going back to newborn days. But
right.
but when I work with families and we are like, our goal eventually is independent sleep through the night, I do have them change their diaper before the night feed, basically as one more way to wake her up a little bit more. Like if you're going to tell me you're hungry and you're going to eat, I want to make sure you actually eat. And again, just that piece of, I want you to recognize that you're eating. And I want you to recognize that you're back in your bed. So having a low light on and even changing her diaper first are both ways to help her kind of stay awake. Yeah. And then lay her back down. Hopefully you can just crawl back into bed. If she's having a tough time, that would be the same kind of, do you kind of what you're comfortable with? Do you want to do that leave and check? Do you want to, you know, stay there and shush her? That's kind of based on how she's responding and what you feel the most comfortable with.
Okay. That makes sense.
Anything else before I move on?
No.
Okay. So then, yeah, we kind of talked about the like cold turkey. She does not need to eat in the night. Just sleep train through it. We chatted through the like, okay, feed her every single time she wakes up. Just make sure you're waiting 10 minutes. She's actually awake, and then slowly kind of weaning down those feeds. Connected to that and kind of a, so if the cold turkey sleep train is on this end of the spectrum, slowly weaning is on this end of the spectrum. Kind of a middle ground would be setting her personal best. So if you think back to 6 weeks ago, and I'm trying to scroll, you said she was generally waking up around, I think you said 2 to 3 a.m. Is that right?
That's right.
Okay. So even if you scroll back to, yeah, a couple weeks ago, she regularly didn't need to nurse until 2 to 3 a.m. You could say, okay, right now she's waking up around 11 or midnight. I am confident she does not need to eat at 11 or midnight. She probably doesn't need to eat around 2 or 3, but that felt better or more natural. So kind of a personal best would be, I'm comfortable saying she can go until 2 in the morning. So tonight, if she wakes up anytime before 2 a.m., I'm not going to feed her. I'm going to sleep train, support her through that waking until she's back asleep. If she wakes up again at 1 a.m., again, we're not yet at that personal best. So I'm going to sleep train her through it. If she wakes up at 2:30, that's when you make the call of like, okay, yeah, I do think she's hungry, or I'm comfortable with this feed, and kind of go from there. And of course, if she eats at 2:30, I would not feed her again at 4. That personal best, I would basically go back to, she was just eating once a night. Let's kind of hop back there and see how she does. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. A kind of danger that can happen when you're kind of doing that like personal best and or the slow wean is, even in the space where she is now of basically every time I wake up, I get to nurse. If you go to that personal best, what may happen, especially because she likely doesn't actually need that feed, she could keep waking up at 11 or 12 or 1 because she's like, but I know I'm going to get a feed at some point. When is it going to be? So if you go the personal best route and you're like, man, but it's been 3 or 4 nights and she's still waking up twice before this personal best, that even 2 a.m. nursing time is probably confusing her because she expects, when I wake up, I get to eat. So that's kind of a, again, just to keep in mind in thinking how to approach this. If you go that direction, it could be really helpful or it could confuse her more. Two more little tips there, I think. One would be to, whether you're like cold turkey sleep training through it or doing something like personal best and there's any waking before that kind of 2 a.m. mark, I would send your husband to go comfort her, because she's expecting you and she knows that when mom comes, she's going to feed me. You can go in to help her, but it's going to be a lot harder for you because you're like, but if I just nurse her, she'll go back to sleep. But same thing for her. She's going to be like, mom's here. Our pattern is she nurses me. Why isn't she? And she could get that much more frustrated because you're not feeding her. So I know your husband works full time, which makes things a little more challenging because he needs good sleep as well. But if you choose a cold turkey route or even with that personal best, I would definitely send him over to, again, whether it's a 10-minute leave-in checks or to sit with her, because it's going to be a lot more frustrating for both of you if you are there with her. One more thing kind of with the methods, I guess you would say, of night weaning. If you choose to do something like, we are going to cold turkey sleep train through this, or maybe we want to try the personal best kind of in one of those, you obviously want to be consistent. I also never want you to feel like, okay, but I truly think she's hungry, or this is her hunger cry, I'm not supposed to feed her. I never want you to feel that way. So in cases like this, we do kind of a 30-minute rule where, like, let's say you're going cold turkey, you plan to sleep train through it, and you kind of have that personal best in mind, for example, and it's midnight, she wakes up, you're able to do leave and check for 20, 30 minutes, she's back asleep. She wakes up at 3 a.m., And you're like, okay, but I know she's fine. We're going to cold turkey go through it. And you're 20, 30 minutes in and you're starting to second guess yourself of like, but what if she is hungry? Like I maybe kind of want that option to be on the table. This is when we do a 30-minute rule where essentially I don't want you going much more than 30 minutes before feeding her. I don't want her to be awake for an hour and a half, and then you feed her. Or we're kind of like growing some stamina of eventually they will just feed me. So if you're entering it like, okay, we're going to cold turkey do this. I kind of want to have it on the table that I can feed her, but I really think she's fine. She's up at 2 a.m. You check in at 2:10. Maybe your husband checks in at 2:20. He checks in again at 2:30. If at 2:30, 30 minutes in, you're like, oh, but maybe she's hungry. I either want you to feed her then and move on, or be like, I'm confident not feeding her, and truly keep sleep training through it. Don't go more than 30 minutes before making that call. Does that make sense?
Yep, that does.
Okay. What questions do you have so far?
I think as I'm thinking through this, I mentioned briefly that she's going to move from the closet to her own room soon. Mm-hmm.
Yay!
And I think that as we've been talking, the immediate steps I can take are to separate the nursing mm-hmm. from her sleep. I can nurse her way before her naps and way before bed. And then I can keep her, I can talk to my husband about keeping her awake at night and what that would look like.
Yeah.
If I put her down and she's totally awake and it takes her a while to go to sleep, et cetera. But what would you recommend in terms of working on this right now in her closet and her pack and play?
Yeah.
Or waiting until she's in a bigger room? Or do you think it's just up to our preference on how soon we want to get actual sleep?
Yeah. I mean, I think all of the above. So I would say what will be easier for you and your husband, I think would be her in a separate room, simply because you have like an extra wall and an extra door. So when you are putting in that 10-minute wait time before responding, or as you're doing that leave and check, it's just helpful to have a wall between you where you're like, I could just take 7 steps and she's right there. I don't know. Does your closet have a door?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. At least there's still some separation. Our closet that I'm looking at does not. Okay. But I do think even just having a wall makes it, I think physically and just mentally easier for you to put that wait time in there. So if you are in a space of, we're going to move her over in a week or two, I can totally do this for 2 more weeks. Again, make those other changes. Maybe things will get better. But yeah, I can absolutely keep waking up 3 times a night for 2 more weeks. And then she's in her own room. Okay, here we go. If you're like, well, our goal is in a week or two, but it could actually be a month or two, I would then again think through, can I keep waking up 3 times a night for 2 months? If the answer there is no, then I would say do this now. Mm-hmm. Her moving, because she's an independent sleeper, her moving rooms, it may be a bit of an adjustment. Like as she's falling asleep for her naps or she's falling asleep at bedtime, she may fuss more than normal just because she's in this new space and something is different. It very likely won't affect her night wakings at all. Once she's asleep, she should be okay. So yeah, if you're in a space of we're moving her over in a week or two, I can handle what's going on now until then, I would say do that just for the sake of having an extra wall between you, I think will be helpful. If it's a month or two out or even in the next 2 weeks and you're like, I can't keep waking up 3 times a night, something needs to change now, then I would do it now and just recognize you might want to put your pillow over your head a little bit longer or something just to keep, yeah, that consistent. No, I really am going to wait those 10 minutes before going in. Does that help?
Yeah, that's helpful. Okay.
I think too, if you do it while she's in your closet, you mentioned her wall shares, she shares a wall with your son. I think you could still totally do this. I think it's a much more normal concern that we're going to wake up siblings than it actually is a reality. So not to say he won't wake up. I really hope he doesn't wake up. Our goal is not to wake him up. But I would say with the families I've worked with, it's generally a really big concern and it very rarely happens. So just hopefully that's kind of a helpful encouragement to hang on to. But if it were to happen, being that he's an independent sleeper too, you know, even just popping in and be like, hey buddy, we hear her, we see her, we're taking care of it, you know, go back to sleep, or you could stick an extra sound machine in there or put one between their walls. The nice thing is he's four and he's very verbal. He understands a lot. So I always joke with our girls, like if our four-year-old wakes up and, you know, screams out, she sometimes says 11 p.m., our six-year-old basically like looks up and you can tell she's like, meh, it's just Avery, and goes right back to sleep. Like, it's just not a thing. So yeah, I would say the fear of him waking up is a lot greater than the reality actually is. But if it were to happen once or twice, I would say for the sake of your baby consistently sleeping through the night, it would be worth those couple wakings on his end to get her to that consistent space. But hopefully that wouldn't even be an issue. And if you wait till she's in her own room, well, I don't know, will she be sharing a wall with anyone in her own room?
No, she won't.
Okay. Okay. So that might even be more comforting all around.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I know I've thrown a lot out at you. I'm looking at all my notes to see if I missed anything. I don't think I did. Do you have any other questions or anything else I can clarify?
This is super helpful. Thank you so much for all the tips.
Yes, of course. Well, and I'm excited to hear how things go. Definitely keep me posted and maybe we'll record another segment to share what ended up happening, what you chose to do.
That sounds great. Thank you so much for all this advice. I really appreciate it.
Of course. If you've been a fly on the wall listening to this conversation, do you see how involved night weaning can be? It's not usually a one-step solution. If Sterling's baby wasn't already an independent sleeper, this would have been a very different conversation. Rather than talking through those night weaning options, we would have been chatting through sleep training methods. Because in general, when we sleep train babies who are physically able to sleep through the night, they often start sleeping through the night on their own. Night weaning most often comes hand in hand with sleep training because now the baby can naturally connect those sleep cycles overnight. Sometimes, however, we sleep train and baby still needs a night feed. And then rather than that feed dropping naturally, they hang on to it due to habit. Or maybe there are some schedule or routine shifts needed to really kick that night feed once and for all. And that's where Sterling was stuck. Her baby was already an independent sleeper, but she was waking multiple times each night and Sterling fed her back to sleep every time. Sterling and her husband were in a place where what they were doing just wasn't working anymore and they were ready for a change, but they didn't know how exactly to get there. So we went digging. We knew the sleeping environment was solid and her schedule sounded great, although we did talk about the schedule changes that were likely coming soon. We then dug through her nap and bedtime routine and talked about pulling milk a bit farther away from sleep. Then we chatted through her night weaning options or her plans. They could choose to pull the night feed cold turkey. They could choose to do a gradual wean down or start with the baby's personal best and go from there. And the good news is, or the grace is, they had choices. They could choose what path to take based on what felt best for them and for their babe, and they could choose the when. So on next week's episode, I'll be chatting with Sterling again, and you'll get to be a fly on the wall one more time, hearing about what night weaning approach they decided on and how it actually went. So make sure you've subscribed to our podcast so you don't miss it.